You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Cavaliers for Friday, May 18th. And this is your daily look at the always interesting Cleveland Cavaliers. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. On today's show, I'll be talking to you about what the Cavs had to say at Thursday's practice, where Tyronn Lue, George Hill, J.R. Smith, and Tristan Thompson all spoke to the media in attendance. The Cavs will have another media session on Friday, where I would at the very least expect to hear from LeBron and probably, I would guess, Kevin Love and Ty Lue again as well. If you aren't already, go on iTunes, Megaphone, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever else you listen to podcasts and subscribe and listen to Locked On Cavaliers. If you leave a 5-star rating and review, ideally on iTunes, but wherever you listen to podcasts, that is the absolute best way to support the show. It also guarantees that a mailbag question you submit in the review or in an email with a photo of the review in the attachment of the email will be answered on this show. Find the podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Lockdown Cavs. And if you want to reach the show with mailbag questions or anything else, you can drop me an email at lockedoncavs@gmail.com. We are going to cover three topics today, with the first one being the importance of communication. I wrote an article at Fear the Sword on Thursday. You can find that article in the show notes or on the homepage at Fear the Sword about this, what the team talked about. Now, the Cavs at their practice in this break between Game 2, which they obviously lost, and Saturday's Game 3, have been watching a lot of film and watching a lot of the defensive breakdowns from the first two games. According to Ty Lue, the break has been good for the team in part because it has given them a chance to reflect on what's gone wrong. Here's what Ty had to say. Quote, "It's a good break. It's a good advantage for them to take advantage of. Showing them things on tape that we can get better at, things we need to take away, like the small communication wise, like we had 7, 8, 9 breakdowns where we just miscommunicated. We showed up today saying take away easy baskets, things we can avoid, and those guys saw that and we incorporated a couple of other things." Now, other players talked about the need for communication as well. George Hill said, "We watched a lot of film where our breakdowns have happened." J.R. Smith mentioned it. To quote J.R., "A lot of times when they get the ball, in reference to Boston, they're into their offense with 19, 18 on the shot clock, and we're into ours at 12 or 13. So we got to pressure the ball, try to keep them out of the paint as much as we can, and at the end of the day, keep contesting. We got into a few mishaps on the defensive end due to communication, and they were getting wide open shots. We got to make that second effort, regardless if you're on the other side of the court or not." Now, I would say that the Cavs and their communication issues and how they communicate and how they respond to that Game 2 loss, where there was a big difference in how these two teams responded to adversity and communication being an integral part of that, is really going to dictate what comes next for the Cavaliers. How the Cavs respond on Saturday in Game 3 and how that impacts the result of the game, the series, every factor here, is going to tell us how the series concludes. The odds are against the Cavs coming back, right? Like, down 2-0, not having home court advantage, even with LeBron, statistically the odds say the Cavs are probably going to lose. Plus, as several players said, and you'll hear JR say this later on the show, four members of the 2016 title team that came back from 3-1 against the Warriors have all said it's hard to apply that experience to this group, because they've only been playing together for a few months, and only four guys, again, from that 2016 title team that came back from 3-1 are still on this team. I really do think Boston has an edge over the Cavs in this area. This group seems together, they're well-coached, they're organized, all of that. And just look at how Game 2 played out as an example of this. In the first half, Boston were down after a monster half of LeBron, right? The third quarter, they outscored the Cavs by 14. They handled that adversity. They kept pushing, building itself back up as a group when the game did not go its way. The Cavs did not when they hit that adversity. They talked about on Thursday about how they just, Ty said they played like they were 25 down when they were only 6 or 7 down. That's not great. And then when James could not do everything and Kevin Love couldn't help, they were down 2-0 in a game they frankly probably should have won. When LeBron James scores 40 points and has a triple-double, you probably should win that game. it has only been a few months since the Cavs made that big trade, right? Like, since they made the deal that sent Isaiah Thomas away, sent Jay Crowder away, that reshaped this roster and brought in new bodies. And remember where they debuted. It was in Boston on a Sunday in a nationally televised game. Remember Jordan Clarkson with the three-point celebration, LeBron pointing off the bench, this big grin on his face, right? All of these guys just exuberant, having fun, Hood playing well, Nance playing well, Clarkson having maybe his best ever game as a Cavalier. All of these things going their way, and it feels like forever ago. This feels like a season ago, multiple seasons ago, that that game happened. This has just been a long, exhausting season for this group. Brian Windhorst has a piece up at ESPN right now about the organizational fatigue the Cavs are sort of facing right now. It is hard to do this over and over again with so much drama. And frankly, I do think it feels like that multiple seasons have passed for this group. Multiple people in the organization have said this season that it has been emotionally draining, that they have felt like they have had four seasons crammed into one. Thursday, J.R. Smith, in a very J.R. Smith way, said this has been, quote, an extremely weird year. And to wrap this up, Tristan Thompson had this to say. I mean, we all got strengths and weaknesses, Tristan Thompson said. Some guys aren't huge communicators, but at the end of the day, it's the playoffs. This is for all the marbles. We're down 0-2. If you don't like to talk, you're going to talk now. And if you don't want to talk, you can sit your ass on the bench. That's what it is. It's point blank simple. So if we're not all communicating, all five of us, we got no chance. Right now, the Cavs are facing adversity. They're facing this chance, this crisis of identity, this crisis of infinite identities, and they're really up against themselves. They have to communicate. They have to respond to this. They have to play with some kind of joy. The idea that at the NBA level or in any work environment that you have to be best friends with the people you work with and be super close with them and everything is overstated. There is a business-like aspect to this. I think LeBron certainly is an example of that when he's not playing with some of his best friends, but this is a group that has to, I think, play with some joy and play with some communication and respond to adversity. When this is all said and done, we're going to probably learn more about all of this. I don't think that some of the guys on the team particularly respond well to this. It cannot also be easy, frankly, to have all this thrown on you at once. And some of these guys, this is their first time in the playoffs. This is a lot, and it's Boston. This is a lot. The Cavs are probably going to be more comfortable at home. I would say some of these, well, JR always looks better at home in certain cases, right? And other guys are going to be better. But they need to respond beyond that. And if they're going to take this to the finals and that's what they want to do and LeBron can get them there, it's going to be required communication from him, from Ty, from everybody involved. George Hill spoke about this, so we're going to take a quick break and you're going to hear from George Hill, and then we'll be back to move into the next segment of the podcast.
You guys spent today on what looked like defensive miscommunication.
Watched a lot of film about it, where you know a lot of our breakdowns are happening. But you start to see once you watch film that we felt like we were doing a great job moving the ball in certain areas of the game. But once you know some bad miscommunication situations got played, it kind of tumbled from there. So we're trying to figure out how we can have few of those and not so many. Just being more vocal. It's going to be good to be back home. You know, guys probably going to be more relaxed and things like that. But the way you can clean it up is communicating early.
So there you have it, George Hill. I thought his quotes were particularly insightful. And moving on to the next topic, Hero Ball. J.R. Smith had a quote about Hero Ball at Tuesday's practice. I wrote about this as well from media availability. And he was the only one who used that terminology. But you have other guys talking about the importance of getting stuff out of LeBron, right? So JR had this to say. When he was asked a question about ball movement and if the Cavs need to emphasize ball movement more. And JR responded with this. No, we have to ramp it up. And saying that they need to do more ball movement. He's saying, yes, we need to do more ball movement. We're playing too slow. We're making Bron play hero ball, which is tough to do, especially in the Eastern Conference Finals. We've got to help him. And with that said, we have to give him an opportunity for us to make him feel confident to give us the ball so we can make the right plays. We got to help him, and he's got to help us. So this is the symbiotic relationship between these two guys, right? It is LeBron feeding these guys to make them better. It is them responding to him and being better because of because of him. On the other side of this, JR had this to say. He was asked a question about what he can really do better, if it's defense, or what is the sort of the most important thing he can do. And he said, quote, make shots, that's the only thing we can do. That's a very J.R. Smith quote. Obviously, we could do more on the defensive side, but our main focus right now is to make shots when we get them. If we don't have them, to try to make the next best play. Right now, Bron and Kev are working overly hard trying to carry us, and we got to step up and do our job. It's a dead-on quote from one J.R. Smith. So, better than a shooting of late, am I right? But J.R. is in a position where he, frankly, is sort of the guy that epitomizes this right now. If you look at the numbers, he was 20. James and Love in game two were 25 of 47 from the field. The rest of the team shot 22 of 33 overall. Of those 12 makes, Kyle Korver and Tristan Thompson combined for 8 of them, 4 apiece on 14 combined shots. So if you take away those two guys, you take away James and Love, the Cavs role players were 4-19. Even if they're only taking that many shots, 4 of 19 is not going to cut it. J.R. Smith in particular was 0 of 7, 0 of 4 from 3 in Game 2. That's crushing. If you look at George Hill, 1 of 4 in Game 2, and he needs to get better as well. So these are sort of what they're facing. The Cavs need to take pressure off LeBron. As Tristan Thompson said, it's a luxury having LeBron on the team. It is a big advantage for the Cavs. That being said, you also are in a position where the Cavs really do need to have something where LeBron does do a lot. It is not a mistake that sometimes they look at their best when he is just destroying people and everything works off of him. Moving forward, at his age and his minutes and what he's going to continue to do well and just what might be best to save him for these big moments, it might be best to get him someone that can offset the ball. We're going to do a ton of offseason content on Locked On Cavs in the coming months, and I hate that I use the word content, but bear with me. When you look at what the Cavs are going to need, when you look at what the Cavs, frankly, if I was writing up a dream offseason, I think one of the guys you want to get is someone like CJ McCollum or someone like Kemba Walker. You get in your prime point guard. I would try to keep George Hill in this type of deal. I'm not sure if that's possible, but I would go for it. And you get someone who can create for LeBron, who can pass to LeBron, who can create their own shot, a la Kyrie. Maybe they're not as good as Kyrie. Maybe they're different than Kyrie, and there's a feeling out factor there, but getting a point guard who can do that maybe more reliably than George Hill, who is asked to do it quite a bit, and they sort of need him to force himself a little bit in these games, I think would be a big thing for the Cavs. Right now, though, the Cavs need LeBron to do it. They need him to be the one that's finding a cutting Kevin Love, a cutting Kyle Korver, instead of him maybe being one of the cutters, maybe being someone that's getting a more forced post-up, maybe, you know, getting a longer rest if they in the regular season. Maybe all of this adds up to him being a little bit fresher right now. It's certainly, in my mind, a real possibility. Right now, though, again, this is on LeBron. This is on him to have to play some hero ball. It's a strategy that certainly, you know, worked better with Kyrie, but they don't have that right now, so it is on LeBron. How the Cavs diversify might just be, can these guys make shots? It could be as simple as that. You know, can JR have a big three-point shooting night? Can they get something out of Rodney Hood? And this is sort of why something like Rodney Hood is a problem. This is why it's something like not getting stuff out of Clarkson is a problem. It's why those guys are intriguing, because they are these guys who can create their own shot. And they are these players who should be able to give you something. And you hope that LeBron makes that easier for them. But that hasn't happened. Hood just hasn't been that. And it has been, again, been a big disappointment. Clarkson just is not reliable. There's a reason Ty does not want to play him without another guard on the floor. That's not good. So that's just sort of where they're at right now. Hero ball might be the Cavs' best option, but it's not a pretty one. But maybe the best version is hero ball with just support from everybody else and Kevin Love doing Kevin Love all-star things, because Kevin Love is very good. If you heard me talk about this on a couple different shows already, I did like how he moved off ball a little bit. But that's going to be it for segment number 2. Next up, you're going to hear from JR, and then we'll be back to talk about JR's quote a little bit more in depth and what a lot of guys on the team said about the 2016 group not really being the reason you can believe this team coming back from 2-0 in this series.
JR mentioned all the things that you guys have been through as a group in 3-1 deficit against the Warriors and 0-2 against the Warriors. So with that being said, how do you explain what happened for you guys, an experienced group, in the second half of the game, too?
For that group, there's only 4 of us left. So it's not really we can't expect the other guys to inherit that because they weren't there when we went through it. So it's a totally different group. Same core, I would say. But at the same time, it's a different group. So we just gotta approach it like it's new. And unfortunately, it's something you can't really rely on. I wouldn't say vets because we are the vets, but at the same time, we're only 4 out of 15. So
there you have it. There was one J.R. Smith talking about the group not being the same as coming down from 2-0. Now, there's another article up at Fear the Sword titled, "In the Face of Another Series Deficit, the Cavs Know They Can't Rely on History." It's by Ashley Bastock, at Ashley Bastock 42 on Twitter. So the Cavs lose, obviously, Game 2, and this is not the first time they've been down 2-0. They were down 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pistons, LeBron era, and then they came back down, obviously, from 2 down against the Warriors and then coming back from 3-1. Tyronn Lue said, "There's never comfort, though." This is a quote from Ty. "There's never comfort in falling behind 2-0, but we know what it takes to come back from that." So that's what he said in this, and I think he is sort of right about that. But here's the reality. As JR pointed out, there are only 4 guys on this Cavs team that have made that comeback before. That's LeBron, Love, Thompson, JR Smith. They happen to be 4 current starters, 4 key pieces on this team. But here's what JR had to say, and I think it's pretty accurate. And you heard this. "We cannot expect the other guys to inherit that because they weren't here when we went through it. So it's a totally different group. It's the same core, I would say, but at the same time, it's a different group. We got to approach it like it's new." 100% accurate quote there from JR. This is just something that they have not had the opportunity to go through. This is a new experience for these guys. Tristan said the same thing. "Every year is different," he said. "I don't want to always go back comparing it to being down 3-1 because this is a completely different team. The Celtics did a good job taking care of home. They had home court advantage, won both games at home, and now it's up to us, like Milwaukee did, to come back and protect home." In the first round, obviously, Milwaukee pushed that series and is able to extend it. Cavs now, there are 2 games at home, Saturday and Monday, to even the series up. And it'll be interesting to see how they really do this. And what this team is made of is going to be really revealed in the next couple days. And what some of these guys are made of. I don't question Hill. I do not question Korver. We're really looking, frankly, at who of the peripheral are going to respond. Can you get something magical out of Jeff Green? I would say not likely, but maybe Jeff Green can channel the best version of himself for the rest of the series and help the Cavs come back. Maybe Larry Nance, if he can take advantage of the minutes he's playing, could respond and take advantage of his chance, his reinsertion into the series. Maybe Jordan Clarkson gets another shot. Maybe we see Rodney Hood settle in and find that 11-point fourth quarter version of himself in one of these games. That would be really big for the Cavs. Not likely, but would be really, really big. And it's also just a lot to ask them to do this again and again and again. There's only so much. There's a breaking point for some of these teams. I think it's a breaking point for the Cavs. And this team does not have Kyrie Irving anymore. There's a question, I can't remember the user's name, they asked me on Twitter, we're going to get to it in a mailbag next week, about why the Cavs don't play like the Rockets, and there's a ton of reasons for that. It'd be hilarious almost to watch the Cavs play that way, but with no Kyrie, who's sort of the other elite ball handler next to LeBron, who can create his own shot and do Kyrie things, you get in situations like this where you don't have the star power to fall back on. This is LeBron and Kevin. This is relying on JR to continue at the form he was at the first 2 rounds after being bad in the regular season. It's asking Rodney Hood to rise above what he's always been, for George Hill to be more than he's been in some degrees, for Clarkson to be good at basketball, at least in a way that like is efficient. It's asking Jeff Green to not be Jeff Green. It's asking a lot of Kyle Korver, who is a 37-year-old with an achy foot, and like when you need Kyle Korver to blow up your scoring, like that says something about like the ceiling of your team. Kyle's a great guy. He's a great interview. He's a very good player, and he could be a really good player on a really good team, I still think, at this point in his career. But when he's maybe your third most important guy, that's a little bit of a problem. So I don't know what's coming. I would venture to guess the Cavs are going to lose this series and not make the finals this year, but I'm very curious to see how they respond these next couple of games. It'll tell us, I think, something about what this team and what some of these guys on the team are made of. And I'm very curious to see how Ty and LeBron and what they all have to say about it and how this season, if it wraps up here, how it does wrap up. It's going to be very, very just fascinating, more so than the X's and O's, I think, just what this Cavs team and what this group ends up being made of. Like, what do we learn about them as a group in these next two games and however long the series goes? And however long the series goes, what kind of fight does this group have in it that we haven't seen yet? But that's going to be it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. I appreciate everyone out there listening to the podcast. The show will be back tomorrow with another show like this, assuming more than one person talks. But it'll preview Game 3. It'll run through some of the media availability from Friday's midday practice. So we'll hear, again, probably from LeBron, I would guess Love, and I would maybe guess Ty as well. Then there will be a recap of Game 3 up Sunday morning-ish. I have a commitment Saturday night, so I'm not watching the game live, but we'll be watching it right after that thing is over. And then we'll obviously have full coverage up next week after the Sword and Lockdown Cavs. And while we look to next week, if you have any mailbag questions, submit them right now, as we'll be doing a mailbag next week at some point. And again, if you want to, a guarantee that your question will be answered, leave a 5-star rating and review, and send in the screenshot of that review, and or I will check the reviews on iTunes to see if there are any questions there. But if you submit them, you'll get it answered, 5 stars guaranteed, and bonus points for draft questions as well. Again, email me with any questions at lockdowncavs@gmail.com, tweet, Facebook at lockdowncavs, me on Facebook and Twitter at CWMWright. Have a great Friday, and thank you for listening to Locked On Cavaliers.